Okay. All right, now I've been thinking about this all week. Sometimes everything just comes together and I'm pleased with it because it's sharp and precise. And I really thought this would be that way. Right now, I don't know if it will be or not. I pray that it will. I pray that what I say won't be just a bunch of words filling in the spaces, but that everything that we talk about here this morning that you'll see clearly, and that it'll speak to your heart, that it'll correct you, give you instruction and righteousness. It'll help you to draw closer to God and walk closer to Him. It's funny how things work together. I guess we talk a lot, and so our minds kind of maybe run in sort of the same deal, but what Seth talked about in Sunday school is going to be a lot that's going to go right with it. And I mean, maybe. All right, let's see here. It's Isaiah chapter 44. Are you there? Let me see if I can read this. Let's start in verse 8. I'm going to talk to you this morning about idolatry. I've preached quite a bit about idolatry. You say, that's a boring subject. I don't think it will be this morning. I think it's something that we need to consider real carefully, because I'm sure that where you're sitting, you think, well, I'm not an idolater. I don't worship idols. I don't do that. And just check out. Better not check out right now. You better sit and listen, because it's more than you think it is. I guarantee you. Fear not. Fear ye not. Neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Question mark. Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity. And their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses. See, idolaters are seeking after their own pleasure. That's delectable. That's like delicious, you know. I mean, that's what it's things that are pleasing to them. But it's not going to be pleasing to them. It's not going to profit. All right, they see not, nor know. He's talking about the idols they make, the idols they worship, the God they invent, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a God or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Did you catch that? They are the workmen, the ones that do this crafting of the, you know, they put into visual form what somebody else has imagined in their heart. They're the world. They're men. The world does that. The world will shape and form and put your image right out there for you. The smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals, and fashioneth it with hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He maketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and he marketh it out with a compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it, and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god, and worshipeth it. He maketh a graven image, and falleth down thereto. Takes a tree, and he does all this with it. He burns it, heats himself, he warms himself, and he bakes with it, and he makes a god out of it, and worships it. Wow, he carves him something out. He makes a graven image, carves something out of it. Well, that's what Seth does for people, but, you know, it's not the same thing as we're talking about here. I want you to get the real message of what idolatry is this morning. That's what we really want to put our finger on here. Maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire, and the residue thereof he maketh a god. It's repeating, see? Even his graven image. His graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my God. See, idolatry looks a whole lot like, and sounds a whole lot like, the real deal. They call their God, God. They don't call it something else. They pretend that they're really worshiping God. But it's just a little different than what you do, what they do. What somebody, you know, the real deal. It's just a little different than what the old-fashioned way of doing it is. You know, we've just added a little to it, modified it here, brought it up to date, got it contemporary. That's idolatry, the very essence of it. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes. They cannot hear, that they cannot hear, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, I also have baked bread upon the coals thereof, I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feedeth on ashes, a deceived heart hath turned him aside. He cannot deliver his soul, nor say, Is there not a lie in my right hand? I mean, idolatry puts you in a place where you can't even get saved. You need to understand that. There's another verse I'm going to read here in a little bit in Ephesians, but it just says real straightforward and plainly that idolaters are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So, it's a pretty important thing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Pray you bless it now to our hearts. Give us understanding. Help us, Lord, to really understand this morning. Pray that you'd help me to be sharp with the words and pointed and not meander around. Help me, Lord, to get to the point, say it, and Lord, that it be received in Jesus' name. Amen. Idolatry is something that is understood much too shallow in the time we live in. I think it's always been that way. Do you realize that the first three commandments are about this issue? Anybody want to tell me what the first commandment? Number one, Ten Commandments. First one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. All right, well, that's about this subject, isn't it? Thou shalt have no other god before me. Gods before me. The first three commandments deal with this issue. Therefore, it's the top of the list of what displeases and alienates us from God. First thing out of the gate, Ten Commandments, first law of God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He's dealing with the fact that men are apt to worship idols, apt to invent something else, and they're apt to turn away from God. They're apt to have something else in front of God. They're going to put something else in God's place. They're going to distort things about God. That's what men are most prone to do. That's one of the effects of sin. That's what the devil uses in temptation. That's his whole goal, is to get you to turn away from God, from worshiping God in truth. All right, thou shalt have no, in Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 7, let me read these first three commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou, number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, we've talked about that before, and I hope y'all listened and understood and believed this truth. Taking the name of the Lord in vain is not just adding a cuss word to God's name. It's not even what it's about. Taking his name in vain is saying you belong to him while you worship something else. Saying that you belong to him while you serve something else. It's being insincere, unreal, and unfaithful. That's what taking the name of the Lord God in vain is. You're saying you belong to him, but it ain't really true. You're claiming to be a Christian, but you're really not. And you try to make it look like you are, but people know you're not real. Now that's taking the name of the Lord in vain. It's much more. Idolatry is much more than the worship of adoration of statues and images. That is just the advanced version of idolatry. That is idolatry 4.0. That ain't how it starts. That ain't the beginning of it. That ain't the foundation of it. Just like adultery is not, and sodomy and all of that is not where all that starts either. It starts in the mind and in the heart. And then it develops into the full-blown thing. And the idolatry, when a person, you know, you can't imagine how somebody could do these awful sins, can you? These sins of the flesh that I just named. It's so wrong, it's so filthy, it's so beyond our imagination that we just say, oh my, I just don't understand. Well, how in the world could he? God gave him over. God gave him up to vile affections, to uncleanness, to a reprobate mind. Give him up. Just like we just read in Isaiah. They can't save themselves. They can't understand anymore because God has blinded them because of their idolatry. See? And so idolatry, you think of somebody, don't think of it as some pagan worshiping a statue or a wooden carving or a rock carving. Don't think of it as that, because that's not the essence of idolatry. That's the full blown, take it to the limit result of an idolatrous heart, of breaking the commandments, the first three here, and violating them. It's more than that. It's much more than just money or a hobby or a pleasure some people indulge themselves in. You know, the modern thing is, well, now anything can be an idol. If I got a boat, it can be an idol. My car can be an idol. What nonsense. That's way more than that. You're looking at idolatry way too shallow. Think. Open up your mind and hear these things and understand them. And look at your own life and your own heart and mind and question yourself. Am I an idolater? Am I guilty of this in any way? Most people think they're clear of this greatest abomination before God simply because they don't worship images or statues like pagans or Catholics do. Or because they say with their mouths that God is the Lord. I love Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. You say that and then live like the devil? Unfaithful to God, unfaithful to church, hate the people of God, badmouth them all the time. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. You're an idolater. That's what you are. You're either a worshiper of God or you're an idolater. That's the only two things there can be. That's right. And idolaters are not going to have any part in the kingdom of God. Now, there's only one God, and He reveals Himself to us in the Bible. This right here, this book right here. That's the only way that you can know anything about God. You can dream your dreams. That might have been Satan himself give you that dream. It might have been the pizza you ate last night before you went to bed. It might be some medication you're on that opened the door for evil spirits to come in and deceive you. You can't know what God's like with visions and dreams and nonsense like that and imaginations. The only way you can know God is what He says about Himself in this book right here. And there is only one God. And so therefore, entertaining any other idea, entertaining the idea or the concept, any other concept than what God has revealed about Himself here is idolatry. You just start imagining what God's like, what He looks like, how it is. No, read the book. Meditate on what it says about God, what He's like, what He looks like, what it's like in His presence. That's the only thing that we have to go on. Anything else, we add to it, we take away from it, man, we're marked. It's doomed. We're an idolater. You find that in the very last of the book. One of the last statements the book makes in the end of Revelation is anybody takes away from the prophecy of this book or adds to it, his name's going to be taken away out of the book of life. You're doomed. You got to believe what the Bible says about God, and you got to believe it exactly like it is. You can't add to it. You can't change it. You can't distort it. The Word of God is truth. Idols are lies. Idols are lies. They're not truth. Idols are imaginations. And idols are vanity. You can study this in the Bible, you'll find vanity tied to idols almost every time. They're vanity, vanity. Idolatry is falling in love with our imagination. That's what it is. You just don't like reality, so you pretend. I mean, we're living in a time, if you don't like being a girl, you can just pretend you're a boy. Yeah. If you don't like anything, you just pretend that it's not so. Pretend it's something else. That's the whole basis of psychiatry and everything. I've read and read their advice and how they counsel people, and that's the essence of it right there. Just imagine. They listened to John Lennon too much and smoked the same stuff he smoked. That's what's wrong with them. Perception is reality. No, perception is deception if it's not according to truth.
Yes.
That's right. Now, these people deceive themselves so that they perceive what they perceive. They perceive their imagination to be reality. And so then they attach their heart to it. They're given over to it, just like we read here in Isaiah. I don't know how much attention you paid to that, but you ought to go back and read that again very carefully, because he covered it all just there. He nailed it down and described it exactly how we're talking here. In Hosea chapter 13 and verse 2, "And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding." You hear that? Get that. They made them idols according to their own understanding. That's what idolatry is. So this morning, is there anything in you, in your mind, in your heart, that just says, "Well, I just don't think it's that way. I just don't feel like it's that way. I don't think God's that way. I just don't see how God, a loving God, would do this, do that. Why he did this to me? Why he did that to me? Why he will do this to me?" You do. Where's your basis? Show me the verse where you can back it up with the word of God, that God said this about himself, what you're saying you believe, or you think, or you feel. Idolater.
Yes.
That's idolatry. Pure and simple. But it's rampant. It's not something that they did thousands of years ago. It's not something that pagans and degenerate people do in the jungle now. It's right in the padded pews and air-conditioned churches. Full of it. Full of idolatry. According to their own understanding. All of it. The work of the craftsman. Well, what's a craftsman? Somebody makes something. He creates stuff. He fashions it with his hands. A craftsman. They say of them, "Let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves." It's funny how that always ends up being the deal. It's funny how the devil is so tricky. What did they offer? What was the first class offering? Bullocks. It was a sacrifice to be burned up, to be given. Well, they kissed the sacrifice. They made up an image of it and kissed it. Loved it. Loved it. It's the very opposite of the message of the sacrifices and the gospel. If you love your life, what's going to happen to you? Jesus said, you lose it. If you lose your life for Christ's sake, then what's going to happen? You're going to find it. You lay down your life. Now, making images is something we do with our minds and not just with our hands. You know, I told you that worshiping statues and things, it's just the advanced version. I mean, that's when it comes out in the open, and that's when you publicly do it to show what you really got in your heart. Making images is something we do in our minds, not just with our hands. You imagine God to be like you want him to be. You're an idolater. You've got to accept God for just like he is. We preached another night on God's a jealous God, and I said that. You know, this is God. This is the way he is. Now, you got to take him or leave him. There ain't no other God. Ain't no other choice. It's either him or idols. It's either him or you just make up your own God that can't hear, see, or help you when trouble comes. And can't deliver your soul either. and can't forgive your sin and never did anything for you. This same God who's jealous and who's coming back in wrath and who gets angry with the wicked every day, he's the same one that gave himself to die for your sins to save you. And he's the only one there is. And you got to accept everything about him, everything about his character, everything he's ever done. People they refuse him because he killed all those poor Canaanites. God's a murderer. He kills us. No, God ain't no murderer. He's one who gives life. He owns it. He can do with it as he sees fit. And he's all wise, infinitely wise, far more than any man has ever been. And so you got to trust him, or else you got to worship idols. Do you trust him? Do you trust him completely? Good or bad? Blessing or cursing? Do you trust him? Does he really do all things well in your mind? Or is he always on trial in your mind? Or have you found something else better? You go to some church where they'll just tell you all sweet things about an all sweet God who never crosses anybody and ain't never going to hurt nobody. It's idolatry. I don't care if it's got Baptists on the front of the church and it's been that way for 400 years. It's idolatry if you distort, if you leave out, if you add to what God is according to his word. The image has to be created in our mind before we can create it with our hands. Now, Seth, don't you see, look at a piece of wood and see what you're going to make out of it before you do it? Well, yeah, you got to think about it first. You got to think about that image before it really is an image. So you're not really worshiping that chunk of wood. You understand this? You're worshiping what you have thought up in your mind. That's what you're doing. So a person can be an idolater in his mind while outwardly appearing to serve God. Think about that. They can call on Jesus with their lips and praise Jesus with their lips while their heart is far from him. They did that in the Old Testament. He said, you praise me with your lips. You speak well of me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. And it's an idolatry. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. All right. Idolatry is embracing fantasy. It's pretending. Just like all the world before us is doing about everything right now. Just pretending. Just pretending. Nothing's real anymore. It's all fake and phony and pretend. And to them, fantasy is reality. And reality is fantasy. What we're talking about this morning, they scoff at and spit at and make fun of and lightly esteem it. I saw somebody put on there this week a post that said that something about Trump was wanting to put the Bible back in school. Well, I don't know if any of that's true or not and whatever. And I don't know. I ain't commenting about that. What I am going to comment about, though, is what somebody commented. The first comment was, I'm okay with that as long as it's classed as fiction. See, the Bible's fiction, but their insane world is truth. Where a woman can pretend to be a man. A man can pretend to be a woman so he can go in all the bathrooms. He can go join the women's wrestling league and whoop the stuffing out of all of them. If I was a woman, I'd be mad about that because that ain't no woman, that's a man. I don't care if he's got lipstick on and a dress on and high heels. He's a man. He ain't a woman. And everybody knows that. And everybody can see it. It's stupid. It's fantasy. It's pretending. And idolatry is that very thing. It's embracing fantasy and rejecting reality. It's pretending. It's creating, first in our mind, a concept or an idea of God, and then living our life according to that imaginary standard, bowing down to it. They make an idol and they bow down to it. That means you live your life according to what it's what you have. The standard that you have imagined. See, everybody's got this God nowadays that used to call for death for the sins of adultery and sodomy and other things, murder. And other things. Now everybody's got this God that he's just so sweet and loving and soft and kind, and he would never hurt a flea. And so he can't be, it's not the same God. No, it's an imaginary God. God that we worship, if you're right this morning and you are a worshiper of God, you're worshiping the same God that parted the Red Sea, same God that opened up the earth and swallowed up Korah and all of that bunch and sent them right straight to hell, the same God that drowned everything that breathed on this earth one time. Now, that's the God, the only God there is. If you got any idea of some God that's different than that, you're an idolater this morning. You're worshiping an idol, an imagination of your own heart. You're pretending to worship God. A lot of people pretend. They'll go to church and they'll, if somebody says, are you saved? They'll raise their hand and say, I'm saved. I've been baptized. They're pretending. They don't know God. Because God don't please them. This God don't please them. They just tear out the parts they don't want. Like the king did back in Jeremiah with his penknife. He didn't like that. So he cut it out and throwed it in the fire. And God told Jeremiah, write it all down again. He thinks he can get rid of my word by throwing it in the fire. And write this down. Write these things down besides. Here's some more to go with it. God is God. When will everybody realize that and surrender to him and live according to his standard instead of the one they've made up? Everybody's got a God now that don't care about nothing. It don't matter how you look, how you dress, what you do, what you drink, what you eat, whatever. How you live your life. Nothing's a sin anymore. Fornication, adultery, drugs, anything like that. Well, that's just what I said about idolatry. That's just sin, advanced sin, you know. Sin 4.0. It ain't. The sin starts in your heart. It is the essence of it is what's in you already, see? That's just the manifestation of it. It's like the idolater bowing down and kissing a log that's carved into the shape of something. See, that's insane. How can anybody be that stupid? Sin makes you that stupid. Believe in fantasy, embracing it. Falling in love with your imagination, that's where you end up. Nuts. Insane. Crazy as a bed bug. Any distortion of what God says about himself is fantasy and it's not truth. Any distortion of what God says. How many times does the Bible say, you ever go through there and look, I am the Lord thy God. And then he adds something to it. I'm the Lord. I change not. I'm the Lord that brought you out of Egypt. I'm the Lord that did this and did that. And I'm the Lord that's going to do this. He gives lots of promises in that. I am. That's why when Jesus said, I am, it really struck the right chord with them guys. They knew exactly what he was talking about. It made them mad. They were idolaters who were pretending to be the men of God. Sitting in the positions of authority. Sitting in Moses' seat. And they were idolaters. I mean, God was standing right before them. And they did not know him. And they hated him. They had another idea of God. They were idol worshipers. Any contradiction of what God says about himself is a lie. And therefore, not true or real. Let God be true and every man a liar. What God says is true. It doesn't matter what you feel, what you think, what you've seen, what you've experienced, what you've heard. God is right. Amen. Every time. And when you read it, thus saith the Lord, you better just bank it. Because you better stop right there. But, no buts. God is the authority. Not anybody else. And when we embrace what we imagine about God instead of what the Bible says about God, we've turned to idols. You see? I hope I'm making that clear enough. Idolatry is turning to anything or anyone but God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is anything or anyone that takes the place of God in your life, in your mind, in your heart, anything that does that is an idol. Might be your education. Might be some book you run across. Yeah. Might be some experience you've had. Bad or good? A lot of people do that. They're like, well, nobody's been through what I've been through. I'll tell you what, I've learned some things that I've been through. I'll tell me what God is. Idolatry is living for anything or anyone else but God. What is the most important thing in your life? What guides your life? Really? That's it? If it ain't God of the Bible, then it's idol worship. It's an idol that guides you. It's of your own, an idol is a thing of your own making. Or it's a thing of somebody else's making that you have latched onto and following. Covetousness is idolatry. The Bible says so plainly. Why? You think, why in the world? You know, this is different. Because it's vanity. Covetousness is vanity. I gotta have, I want. I see that, I gotta have it. Always wanting things. Covetousness. Lusting after things. Desiring things of the world. That, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Pretty plain, ain't it? Always a wanting. What do you want out of life? Huh? What do you think about? What is it you're seeking after? What is it that you're reaching for? Where are your eyes, your mind? I'm not this, your eyes, your mind. Where's your mind fixated on? Things? Pleasures? Some kind of worldly success? Money? Well, love of money is the root of all evil. Money's power. Money's the ability to get the things you want. To satisfy your covetousness, which you'll never be satisfied. It's vanity. When you get those things, what does it amount to? I mean, I'm sitting here right now and I see some of you, and I remember when you got your car, and man, that was the finest thing, or truck, or whatever. And, oh my. And after just a little while, man, that piece of junk, I hate this thing. It's vanity. That means it's of no value. Vanity is of no value. That's what it means. A vain thing is something that ain't worth nothing. Covetousness is vanity. Idolatry is vanity. It's not real. It's not worth nothing. It has no value. It's imaginary. It's pretending. It's a mind game. That's what it is. And it's abomination to God. And people are so prone to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in this world, and that there is none other God but one. Now in the New Testament, when you study idolatry and idols, that's the context you'll find almost every time. It's about this matter of eating things offered to idols. Can you apply that? How does that apply to us? How does that apply to New Testament Christians? Well, what do I say to you? Idolatry, most of the time, looks real close to the real deal, real Christianity. So, you know, the fundamentalists used to preach separation. But everybody's got this idea in their mind that it's just separation from this ungodly world. I mean, don't go to bars and don't go to places like that, you know, and stay away from dances and things like that. That's separation from the world. No, there's more of a separation than that. The whole issue of idolatry in the New Testament was connected with eating things sacrificed to idols. And what they come up with, the conclusion of it was, if you eat it and don't know that it was, big deal. It ain't nothing. An idol ain't nothing. Somebody's imagination. But to do it on purpose, now there's another issue there. You eat it with your conscience knowing that that was offered to an idol. What about mixing with other churches and, you know, people that are idol worshipers? I mean, we're living in an age. All this, not only the contemporary worshiping is idolatry, but a lot of the rest of it is too. They're worshiping some set of doctrines. Some, I mean, there's every kind of, every flavor and every fragrance of doctrine and nonsense that you can imagine. You can't even imagine. It's just chaos everywhere. Don't be blown about with every wind and doctrine. Better be careful what you eat that's offered to idols. Careful what you listen to. What are they doing when they're singing their rock music in the church? What is that? That's an offering to an idol, buddy. You eat that? You partake of that? Knowing that? Yeah. It's like offering a sow on the altar of the temple. That's what that's like. In my opinion, I believe that's exactly what it is. I don't want no. I like bacon, but I ain't eating none of that. No, sir. Y'all get me? To covet is to desire and lust after things of this world, which are all temporal and vain, of no value. Now, they put a high value on it. Gary sells cars, and man, they put a high value on them cars, money-wise. But how much are they really worth? I mean, in light of the fact that Jesus may come today, what are they really worth?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. In fact, it's in the negative because it draws your heart away. Your heart fixates on it, and it interferes with God's place in your life. You buy that thing and then you got to pay for it and you got to spend your time and your strength and your blood and your sweat to do that, to have that, instead of being able to go tell somebody about God or give that money that you made to some missionary somewhere that'll tell somebody about God. What if just a small group of people would really get dedicated to God and serious about it and start living to for the furtherance of the gospel instead of chasing after things of the world? If we'd really get rid of all this idolatry and we'd really give ourselves wholly unto God, what would be accomplished? Idolatry is embracing vanity. It's esteeming of great value that which is of no value. It's you thinking that something's really worth something when it's not worth anything. It's esteeming of great value that which is of no value. It's embracing vanity. What do you think? What do you esteem of the greatest value in your life? What is most important to you? What is something that you will not, under any circumstances, turn loose of or give up on? Or throw to the wind if it's in the way of you and God's? Think about it. I can't answer that for you, not for any of you. See, this idolatry business starts in the mind and the heart. And that's where, if your heart's embraced it, you're pretty much a goner. It's going to take a miracle of God to rescue you from your own self. Idolatry is to place the highest value on that which we have carved out, fabricated, or made with our own mind and imagination or hands. It's to place the highest value on what we have imagined, what we've thought, what we've created. Place the highest value on it. That's why this is a spiritual battle. That's why that it's pulling down of strongholds and all of that. That's what it is, boy. Let me tell you, you coming to church, people don't come to church to hear this. They don't come to church to be challenged. They don't come to church to get punched in the nose spiritually. They don't come to hear that they're wrong and they need to change their ways. No. They want affirmation of their idolatry. And they're getting it everywhere. You're getting it everywhere. You can go to church anywhere you want to this morning, and your idolatry will be affirmed, confirmed, blessed, and you'll get a blessing to go on your way worshiping your idols. But I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm going to tell you, if you don't turn from your idols, you're going to perish. And serve God alone, the real God, the only God, the true God. Paul looked around on there in Athens, he by himself, and he looked around and his heart was stirred because the whole city was given to idolatry. They had their, remember, they had their idols set up there, their altars, an altar to every god they could think of. And just in case they missed one somewhere, they put up an altar to the unknown God. And he took that as his text, if you will. He said, since you want to do it this way, and since you got one here that you don't even know, that's the one I'm going to talk to you about, your unknown God. I'll tell you who he is. And he did. And some of them believed. But the rest said, this is a madman. Or we'll hear you again. That kind of stuff. Idolatry is to place the highest value on what we've carved out. Or it's to place the highest value on what someone else has fabricated or made with their own wicked imagination. We were reading the other day in Judges chapter 17. In verse 5 and 6, there's two or three chapters there that talk about this little episode and this man and his mother. But there was a man named Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods and made an ephod and a teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Just made the whole thing up. His mama started it. Remember, she had that 1,100 shekels of silver? And somebody stole it. He said, well, Mama, I stole it. She said, oh, bless you, my son. So he gave it back to her. She said, I was going to use that to have an idol made. Well, she took 200 of the shekels and took it to a smith, and he made an idol. She kept the other 900. See how idolaters are? But then he did all the rest of it here. Consecrated one of his sons, made an ephod and a teraphim, and a consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There wasn't nobody there to say, hey, that's wrong to do that. What's the matter with you? But he made it look just as real and authentic as he could. One of his sons was the priest. He had an ephod and he had a teraphim. He had everything imitation, just like the real thing. You hearing me? And then a Levite come by and he said, boy, this is even better because a priest is supposed to be a Levite. He knew that. He knew that. So he knew something about God, the Word of God, the law of God. He knew how it was supposed to be, but he did it his own way anyway and said, this is just as good. And then some people come along and they stole these gods. And they said, you need to stay here. He said, them's my gods. What are you doing? Take away my gods. This is my church and my pews and everything. They said, well, if you'll come with us, you're just here and you ain't got nobody. He said, if you'll come with us, man, you'll be somebody. We'll double your salary. You'll have somebody to preach to. And he said, hey, okay. So he just took everything and went with them. That's idolatry. It wasn't real. God didn't have nothing to do with that. Y'all know that's true, don't you? Well, what are we seeing all around us right now? What about your own little life? Is it that way in your own little life? You know how it's supposed to be, but you think you can just do it your own way in that area, in this area. I don't have to do that. I don't have to live. God loves me. God wouldn't condemn me for that. I don't see nothing wrong with that. No matter how many times somebody shows you in the Bible exactly what it says about that. Whatever issue. And his mother had made them for him. So, he placed a high value on them, buddy. He sure did. His whole life was centered around his idolatry, his idols, his little temple he set up there, his son who was the priest and everything. And who started it? Who put the idea in his mind? His mother. Don't let somebody else put idolatrous ideas in your mind. Don't let some wise guy or wise girl talk you out of the truth of God. All right, I'm just about done here. From the temptation of Christ, we can see that that's just what the devil's goal is all about. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Again, this is the final thing. The devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan actually tried to get Jesus to put a greater value on the things of this world than on God himself. Now, Satan's pretty clever, and everybody talks about how intelligent and all of that he is and tricky. He's a liar. That's number one. That's the only power he's got, is he's a liar. And men are quick to believe lies. That's his only advantage right there. That's the devil's advantage. You got a heart that's deceitful and desperately wicked. And the devil is more than willing to lie to you and appeal to the whatever your weakness is. And here he tried. I mean, last final shot. This is his last swing at Jesus. I'll give you everything in the world if you'll just give up on this deal and just worship me. He said, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't that why he came to this world? Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. And the devil said, I can fix that for you without the cross. Ain't no needing all this suffering. Ain't no needing having to go through all this pain and trouble and a hardness and being rejected of men. I can make men love you. I can make you acceptable to this world, and they'll love you and they'll be yours. We'll skip all that cross and sacrifice and all that. Well, no way. Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written. Do you know what's written? Can you resist the devil by saying, no, no, Satan, the Bible says this, and I know it, and you ain't going to lie to me about that? Or do you pause like Eve did when he said, yea, hath God said? Do you pause and say, well, wait a minute, maybe not. Maybe that ain't what that means. Ain't nobody else believes that's what it means. Just him, that preacher. This little old crowd of nobodies, they believe that, but nobody else does. Maybe God didn't really say that. You do that? Or can you answer affirmatively and firmly like Jesus did? No, it is written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What do you truly place the highest value on above everything else? This identifies us as a true worshiper of God or an idolater. Where are your priorities? You going to live for God? Do you? Is that your heart? Is that your determination? Or are you just going to do it your own way? Make it up as you go. Well, be warned this morning. If you do it that way, you're in grave danger of your soul. I'm telling you. Ain't no idolater. I just read it to you out of the Word of God. No idolater. It's also in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and on down. And it says the same thing there. No idolater going to heaven. Amen. Amen. I'm glad they're not. Ain't going to be nobody there but the ones who love the Lord like he is. They take him just like he is. And isn't that funny that the cry of the world is that? You got to love me as I am. You got to accept me for what I am. That's the Sodomites' cry. That's everybody's cry. You must accept me for what I am. But they won't accept God for what he is. Hypocrites. Deceived idolaters. Don't be one this morning. Worship God. Him alone. Thou shalt have no other gods before him. Don't imagine. Don't make any graven image or any image in your mind. Don't imagine anything else about him than what the book says about him. And if you're going to be a Christian, don't take his name in vain. Be real. Don't be a worthless Christian. Be a real one. Amen. Let's stand. Mm-hmm. I remember many, many years ago seeing this and understanding that idolatry is not just worshiping little carvings and statues. I mean, it really helps you understand, and if you realize that, help you get a closer walk with God. Help you understand why things are right and things are wrong. Amen. Ain't gonna be long. We're gonna be in His presence. So you better get to know Him. Don't be fooled. Don't let other people fool you. Don't let your own heart fool you. Don't let your covetousness fool you. Wanting things of the world. See, experiences of the world. Oh, why in the world can't you just be satisfied with Jesus? Don't He give you enough joy and peace in your heart to keep you still? To keep you from looking out and breaking through the fence just like an old crazy cow or something that you can't keep in? Don't He feed you well enough? Don't He satisfy you? Ain't He good enough to you? Well, He sure is. You just need to get in the right pasture and stay there. Amen. Well, Lord, we thank You for the Word of God, and thank You for the truth here this morning. Thank You for the help. Lord, I'm so tired. I pray You would bless the Word of God now as it has been given out. Thank You for the strength. Pray we'd all of us, me included in that number, take this seriously, ponder it in our hearts and minds, and keep it, Lord, as we go out of here. Pray we'd realize and recognize any idolatrous tendency in our own heart and mind, and Lord, that we'd kill it immediately. And Lord, help us to be on guard against the influence of the idolaters all around us, and help us to resist it and put it away from us and worship You alone. You made us for Yourself, not for anybody else, not for ourselves. We're here to worship and please You and to love You. And that's what You made us for. Help us, Lord, to fulfill that purpose in Jesus' name. Amen.